Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here. Good to be back on a normal schedule here for Tesla Daily after all of the earnings excitement. We do have a few stories to go through today in terms of news and a couple items to catch up on that we've missed over the last few days. First though, let's take a look at the stock. Tesla today finishing down 1.5% after finishing down 4.5% yesterday to close today at $694.40, so now down 6% since reporting Q1 earnings. Looking at volume, you'd never know there was an earnings report this week. 29 million shares trading yesterday, about 22 million shares trading today. Quite a bit lower than the average last week or even the week prior. As for the macro, since Tesla reported earnings, hasn't been too bad, but not doing Tesla any favors. The Nasdaq yesterday down 0.4%, today down 0.3%. One thing that is kind of fun to look at with the stock price though, if we set the stock price itself aside, is the price to earnings ratio. So as we talked about in the bull case presentation last week, the price to earnings ratio had been sitting around 1100x. We've been hearing, or at least I feel like I've been hearing, an endless stream of comments that that is way too high. I've explained why I don't believe that to be the case. And here we sit one quarter later, and the price to earnings ratio has now dropped from 1100x to 695x. So that price to earnings ratio nearly cut in half with just one report. This is why it's not valuable to look at that on a trailing basis and value the company on that when it's growing so rapidly. If you do want to look at that though, it is going to be fun to see that come down over time. It's really easy to calculate right now. Tesla's reported $1 in earnings per share on a GAAP basis over the last year. So it just so happens to work out for the next quarter that the price to earnings ratio is going to be identical to the share price. Another quick stock related note, Tesla did file their 10Q quarterly report today. So this gives us a little bit more insight into the earnings report. I haven't had a chance to go through that in its entirety yet, but I'll probably have some takeaways from that as well as a few other follow-ups from earnings. But I did want to catch up again on some of the other news that's been going on since we have been focused on earnings now for, I feel like, the last week or so. So getting into that news, pretty big update here on Giga Berlin. We've been wondering now for a while when Tesla will submit paperwork to receive approval for battery cell production in Berlin. That has been sort of mysteriously absent up to this point in time. Well, we now have an update from the Ministry of Agriculture, Environment, and Climate Protection in Brandenburg, which says that Tesla intends to amend their currently submitted approval application for Giga Berlin, and quote, "The amended application also includes the construction and operation of a battery cell production plant," end quote. So there we go, finally some concrete news on battery cell production for Berlin, although it does sound like this may cause some further delays in terms of the application approval. The ministry notes here that, quote, "It can be assumed that this change will require renewed public participation," end quote, which obviously takes time, but also that means that we might get a look at what Tesla has submitted here in terms of the plans, and there might be some interesting details there, especially around targeted timelines. Again, they're not saying that public participation process would be assured, they're just saying they're assuming that. They don't yet know the exact scope of the plan changes here from Tesla. They'll wait to review those, and then they say that the licensing authority decides whether a new publication of the project becomes necessary. Quote, "This would include the interpretation of the amended application documents for 1 month and a further month objection period," end quote. So it does sound there like this may have the potential to add a couple of months onto the approval process, which kind of makes you wonder why they wouldn't start a new approval process separately for the battery plant. But Tesla may have decided that this won't warrant a further delay, or that a small delay on the overall approval here would actually be a quicker path to the end state than doing the battery cell plant separately. So I'm not reading a whole lot into that. And as we have seen Tesla do in the past, they could and likely will decide to take on some of that work at their own risk while final approval is pending. Quick reminder here that in the Q1 shareholder letter, Tesla said, quote, "In Europe, build-out of Gigafactory Berlin is continuing to move forward with production and deliveries remaining on track for late 2021, end quote. Nevertheless, there definitely seem to have been some small delays here. Remember a few weeks back in early April, we had seen Tesla send a letter complaining about the regulatory approval process, how that was causing delays and disincentivizing investment to get Germany to where they want to be from a clean energy perspective. And we have now also seen Tesla adjust the timeline on the design studio in Europe for the Model Y. It's now listing end of 2021. Previously, not sure exactly when this update happened, I think it was in the last few days though, but just a couple months back, that timeline had changed for production at least, from beginning early 2021 to beginning mid-2021. Now that's reading end of 2021, although they have changed the term there from production to delivery. So basically we know that Tesla's trying to start production sometime around July, but they're saying end of 2021 for deliveries. So as we talked about last time when we had that July date, it wouldn't surprise me to not see any deliveries until Q4. And I think this reinforces that idea and maybe even makes October look a little bit less likely. Maybe we see it later in Q4. Hopefully that's a pessimistic view if we look at the earnings report photos that Tesla shared. The factory is certainly looking like a factory. There's a lot of equipment installed. But for context here, we can flip back to Tesla's Q2 2019 earnings report They shared some photos of Giga Shanghai at that point, and I'd say those look pretty comparable to what we saw here in the Q1 earnings report on Berlin. As it turned out, Giga Shanghai from that earnings report was about 5-6 months out from deliveries, so that would also line up well then for Berlin being Q4. As for other timeline updates, Tesla has updated the design studio for the Model S and Model X in the US. Of course, Elon also talked about this a little bit on the earnings call as well, but for new orders, Tesla now lists the estimated delivery date for the long-range Model S as August to September, for the Plaid, June to July. Again, that's on new orders. As for the Model X, they list both the Plaid and the long-range as October to November for new orders. Another change that Tesla made to the design studio late last Thursday night that we didn't have a chance to cover due to the earnings preview was yet another increase on the price for the Model 3 and the Model Y. So looking at our table here, April week 3, we can see a $500 increase on the standard range plus and long range Model 3, as well as a $500 increase on the long range Model Y. So we heard Elon on the call talk about demand. It's been really, really strong for Tesla, the highest Q1 ever. There's also been a lot of supply chain difficulties that have increased costs alongside rising material costs. So from those standpoints, the price increases make sense. And then of course, we've got the potentially looming US EV incentives, which Tesla could be inching prices up in anticipation of. Either way, we did see healthy margins for Tesla in Q1, so not something to be too concerned about from a cost margin perspective. All right, next here, I wanted to follow up on the protest situation in China that we've talked about a couple times over the last couple of weeks. We have a few new pieces of information on this story. The first is around the protester herself. So she has been linked to a company that works with NIO. This has been kind of an open question because when she was protesting at the Shanghai Auto Show, this was during a period of time that it was press and companies only. So it wasn't clear how she gained access at that period of time. Further reporting has indicated that she received a media certificate from auto parts manufacturer Webasto, which supplies NIO. She was also seen in a social media post in a NIO vehicle, so people kind of made that link. The supplier has not worked with Tesla, apparently. So one of the prevalent theories on social media was that NIO had potentially encouraged this protest from this person. NIO has now commented on this, of course denying any participation, and now complaining themselves of being attacked in the media for the potential link here. So who knows if NIO's involved, who knows if this is some broader conspiracy, as I've seen a lot of people claim that China's just trying to knock Tesla down a notch to try to encourage people to buy from Chinese companies. Or maybe this woman, who has also done a similar protest in the past, just found a way to get a media pass, probably not all that hard, and did another protest and the media ran away with it, as oftentimes happens. If we're now seeing NIO complain about the media coverage, it starts to look a little bit less like a conspiracy to support Chinese automakers. Maybe more just like poor media coverage, which again would be nothing new. Anyway, it does sound like the perception has changed quite a bit here. Tesla did offer to share the data on that vehicle, and they say that the vehicle was being driven at 118.5 kilometers an hour, 74 miles per hour, just before impact, and slowed down to 48.5 kilometers an hour, or 30 miles per hour, after the brakes were applied. The data also showed that the driver braked more than 40 times in the half an hour before the crash, and that at multiple points in the drive, the vehicle was over 100 kilometers per hour, so clearly the brakes were working throughout the drive and in the moments immediately preceding the crash, reducing the severity of the accident. So again, not surprising, and when Tesla did release that information, it sounds like the narrative and the coverage changed quite a bit. Next up here, we've got a quick one from the IIHS, the Insurance Institute of Highway Safety. They have updated one of their studies comparing safety between electric vehicles and internal combustion engine vehicles, saying that they looked at the electric and the conventional versions of 9 models from 2011 to 2019, and they found that, quote, rates of injury claims related to drivers and passengers of electric vehicles were more than 40% lower than for identical conventional models over 2011 to 2019, end quote. So this joins the growing pool of statistics that show that electric vehicles are safer, and I think it's probably even more encouraging than the numbers would suggest, because if they're looking at identical models, that probably means the electric vehicle was shoehorned into being an EV from the ICE platform. Generally, that leads to a suboptimal EV on many characteristics, one of which, this is a speculative on my part, but one of which may be safety. So personally, I think it's more likely than not that design from the ground up EVs would be even safer than these numbers show. Either way though, good numbers and something that's good to keep in mind from a reputable source for if you happen to get into one of those types of conversations. All right, last couple of things here for today. First up, Ford has reported earnings after hours today, and notably, they said that due to semiconductor shortages, they may have to reduce their second quarter production by about 50%. They did say that they expect Q2 to be the worst of it and that the situation should improve throughout the rest of the year. but they have lowered their earnings before interest and tax guidance by $2.5 billion due to the shortages. So this is a huge impact for Ford. We did hear from Tesla in Q1 they were able to pivot a little bit towards microcontrollers to help alleviate some of those issues. Elon did note on the conference call that they did experience high expedite costs in Q1 though as a result of some of these shortages, alongside some minor production interruptions. And he concluded those thoughts by saying that, quote, "We believe that this landscape is improving, but it does remain difficult and it's an evolving situation," end quote. So obviously it's not going to be as big of a hit to Tesla as what Ford is experiencing here, but it looks like this does remain a significant issue in Q2, which we should keep in mind for both margins and potentially production for Tesla as well. All right, last thing for today, I just wanted to say thank you, honestly. A lot of you have made some really, really nice comments over the last few days on Twitter, on the Jim Cramer video yesterday. I wish I had time to reply to all these comments individually. Unfortunately, I don't, so I just wanted to do it here. It means a lot to me. I read those comments, and they do matter. Sometimes it sucks to get negative comments. Not that I mind that if it is intended to be helpful, I actually love that, but it is really nice to see those positive comments, and it does really help me stay motivated and keep going with, you know, Tesla Daily. So that's it. Just wanted to say thank you. I think we've got a really awesome community here, and I'm looking forward to continuing to build it and continuing to do things that hopefully you all find valuable. That's where we'll leave it for today, though. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow for the Thursday, April 29th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.